grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Matthew's Gospel account, the 9th and 10th chapters. Beloved of the Lord, the Savior is on a mission. His face is set, his eyes are fixed, his hands are outstretched, his voice is lifted high. The Savior is on a mission, and his mission is the salvation of the world. He's no Moses, though many would prefer Moses to Jesus. Moses gives you something to do, something to work for, something measurable. The law came through Moses. Jesus is no Moses. Jesus gives you something to believe. The law measures what you deserve. Faith, on the other hand, receives what the heart knows we don't deserve. With Jesus, it's not about deserving. With Jesus, it's all about what he has to give, what we are to receive by faith. It's not about deserving. It's about believing. God is love. Jesus is God made flesh. He's love incarnate. We're given to believe this, to believe in love made flesh for us. Because Jesus is love made flesh, what does love made flesh do? How does he carry out his mission to save the world? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loves. So he gives Jesus. Giving Jesus is what God is all about. God's giving of Jesus happens as Jesus goes about all the cities and villages, teaching and preaching the gospel and healing every sickness and infirmity. Giving Jesus happens as Jesus teaches and preaches the word. Giving Jesus happens as Jesus breaks into the dominion of enemy territory and returns a hellish world back to its Edenic design, one person at a time. He preaches to the crowds. He teaches his disciples. He heals, not the multitudes, not groups of 50 or 100, but one person at a time. In other words, what is for all the world is also for each and every one of you. This is the mission of love made flesh. This is the work Jesus has come to do. Know well, beloved, how Jesus is drawn to worn and weary sheep who go about like those without a shepherd. He's for those who have not, who are not, who are least, who are small. He's for sinners, those burdened with the curse of sin. In other words, he's for you, all of you. Each and every one of you, male and female, slave or free, Jew and Gentile, elderly and infant, is for sinners. Now we sinners don't like to be called sinners, do we? Oh, we know we're not perfect. We just don't like to be reminded about it. Ironically, that's why we often prefer Moses to Jesus. Or we try to make Jesus into some sort of Moses. We want something to do, something to measure, something to evaluate, hoping for maybe a loophole here or a loophole over there. We prefer Moses because we prefer to live in denial of our sin and its wages. We prefer the law because we like to stare into the mirror of the law to see if our complexion is clearing up. We like to measure our moral improvement as though we're climbing a spiritual ladder. The more we improve, we think the closer to God we get. We are always trying to get ourselves closer, work our way up, cover our blemishes, and pretty ourselves for God. Such a life is always one step forward, but two steps back. The harder we work to make ourselves righteous, furthers us from God. In fact, those who try to walk such a path are walking the wrong way. Those who try to earn their salvation are actually working against God. And this path leads to despair because it leads to death. As Scripture teaches, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end that way leads to death. God's shepherd. Some more piously than others, to be sure, but remember, Jesus didn't come for the pious or the righteous. He came for the sick. He came for the sinner. Jesus is God made flesh. Love incarnate. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us first. Salvation begins with God and in Christ and ends with God in Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is no works for you to do for Him, only what He works for you and gives to you by grace. Our God is a God of grace. He delights in showing mercy, not receiving sacrifice from us. His way is not a way of moral improvement, but the death of the old and the regeneration of the new. For God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The way of moral improvement has no need for a Christ who dies. The way of faith, on the other hand, is rooted in the death and resurrection of Christ. This is love, that Jesus goes about the cities and villages preaching, teaching, and healing every sickness and disease. This is love, that Jesus descends from the heavens above to draw near to sinners, rotten, immoral, ugly sinners, and He loves them with His word and His physical healing touch. This is love, that Jesus touches lepers, gives sight to the blind, forgives adulterers and adulteresses, makes the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and even raises the dead. This is love, that Jesus goes towards the least of these, not in judgment, but in compassion, setting the captives free along the way. This is love, that Jesus takes up even little children, nursing infants into His arms, and saves them through a still, small voice. This is love, that Christ dies for the ungodly. The God of all power and might, mightily and powerfully, surrendering Himself into the hands of sinful men to save sinful men, women, and children. This is love, that having died for humanity, He rises from the dead. That having been laid in the tomb, He not only bursts the bars that held Him in death for 3 long days, but He shatters the gates of every tomb for all who are under the curse. This is love, that those stung by death, though they die, never die forever. For whoever believes in Him, yet shall they live. For the death He died for all. And all means you and me and every man, woman, and child. The life He lives to God. Death no longer has dominion over Him. And if death has no dominion over Him who is risen, death has no dominion over all who believe and are baptized into His death and resurrection. This is love. Christ crucified and Christ risen. Christ crucified and Christ risen for you. Look around. Behold, the harvest of the Lord. Here's the grainer. And each of you who believe and are baptized are the fruit of His labor. Harvest is plenty. The word of the Lord doesn't return void, but accomplishes that for which it was sent out. Look no more in the mirror of God's law as a path to salvation, rather as the honest evaluation of your works. For the law has a purpose, and that purpose is to diagnose your need for Jesus. Look to the cross, for there is your Savior. Look to the Word, for there is that still small voice. Look to the water, for He is there, baptizing, washing, regenerating, clothing sinners with His death and resurrection. Look to the altar, for from this altar He feeds you with the body that will never die again, and the blood that is rich and full of eternal life. His body, His blood, His life for you. This is how the Lord of the harvest plants His seeds in the soil bed of your hearts. This is how He gathers in His harvest. This is how the Lord loves you. He speaks to you. He gives His Son to you. He empowers you with His Holy Spirit and upholds you in the midst of a world torn apart by sin, death, devil, and hell. He saves you one at a time, and then He preserves you in that salvation through His preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching that happens right here in this place called the Holy Christian Church. You, sends out laborers. He gives gifts to men. For he who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. In this holy Christian church, he daily and richly forgives the sins of all believers in the office of the ministry. He sends men, preachers, and teachers of the word as sheep among wolves. He sends his servants to do his word. The mission of Jesus is carried out and continued even unto this day through those who rightly preach his word and give out his baptism and his supper. His mission is the church's mission. His work is the church's work. What he does in preaching and teaching and healing, the church does in preaching, teaching, and ministry to those who suffer the consequences of sin. And so the church on earth is a church at war. At war with the world. That war is not a conventional war, beloved. It's not a war that's fought with guns and swords and bombs and political peace treaties. This war is a war for the hearts and minds of those who are least, those who are small, those who are suffering like sheep without a shepherd. Such a war can only be fought with words of grace and deeds of love. In other words, it's a mission of mercy and compassion. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The Lord of the harvest has called each of you out, yet at the same time sends each of you back to work, fight, and pray, not for yourselves, for your neighbors, for those who are lost, those who are prisoners, those who are suffering the brokenness of this hellish world. You do have something to do, not as a means for your salvation, but as a living, breathing proclamation of the love of God for those around you. What you do, what you say, how you live is a living, breathing, loving letter from God to the nations. Through you, as you live out your vocations, God himself is calling the nations. Through you, as you work works of mercy as husbands and fathers, mothers and wives, brothers and sisters, God is working, planting, calling, gathering souls unto himself. Therefore, beloved, put on the full armor of God. Be brave, knowing that he who called you is faithful. Be steadfast, knowing that your work is not in vain. Make the good confession. Fight the good fight. Carry the gospel of peace to your neighbors and your family and your friends. Withstand the flaming arrows of the enemy. Press on towards the goal. And when it seems like there's nothing more for you to do, or as though you have no purpose, sing the praises of him who redeemed you. Sing the new song which only the faithful can sing. Sing right here in the Lord's house. Sing out there from the rooftops. Sing in the midst of the battle. Sing in the hospital. Sing in the graveyard. Sing through tears if need be. Sing the wondrous works of the Lord. Like God's own child, I gladly say it. For Christ the Lord is risen today. For Rock of Ages cleft for me. For the gospel of our God always gives hope, and the hope will always have something to sing about. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.